Her mom's death made headlines around the world when her bloody suitcase was found in the back of a taxi on the island of Bali. Her boyfriend said he had to kill her mom in self-defense, but she said she was the one who did it, and she had good reason. This is the story of Heather Mack, the troubled teenager who claimed she killed her mom because her mom secretly killed her dad. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. 18-year-old Heather Mack lived with her mom, Sheila Von Wies Mack, in Oak Park. It's a village just 15 minutes west of Chicago, with a population of about 50,000, where the architect Frank Lloyd Wright lived, and where actress and American treasure Betty White was born. It's an adorable little town, 4.5 square miles of brick streets and cute storefronts that look to be from a different time. The Associated Press reports that Mom Sheila had done research for Ted Kennedy, studied under Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Saul Bellow, and transcribed for Peabody Award-winning writer Studs Terkel. The AP called her a wealthy Chicago socialite. Sheila had been married to composer and conductor James L. Mack, who worked on more than 60 albums with some of the jazz greats. One musician who collaborated with Mack said, if someone said we needed strings or we needed a horn section, it was call James Mack. It was like call 007. James suffered from colon cancer and sadly died from a pulmonary embolism while on vacation with Sheila and Heather in Greece in 2006. Heather was only 10 years old at the time. And since then, things just hadn't been going well for the mother and daughter. Heather had allegedly dropped out of school and kept running away from home. She thought her mom was squandering her inheritance. But Sheila had set up a $1.56 million trust fund for Heather to enjoy when she turned 30. The police were called to their home 86 times between 2004 and 2013, mostly missing person reports, but also battery and theft. One time, a fight of theirs left Sheila with a broken arm. In 2013, Sheila told a detective she was worried Heather would kill her. She also emailed a friend to say, Heather was violent again, smashed several items in my home, threw things at me, and left. Heather is in grave danger, and so am I. No arrests were ever made after any of their altercations, but it's clear the two had a troubled relationship. Relatives said that's why Sheila decided to take Heather to the tropical island of Bali in August 2014 to heal. On August 2nd, Sheila and Heather flew to Indonesia and checked into the 5-star St. Regis Bali Resort. Despite the luxury accommodations, Sheila emailed a friend that it wasn't the paradise she was hoping for, and I don't think she meant the island itself. She said Heather was disappearing for hours, and when she was around, she was acting violent. Sheila said, I worry every minute and just wish I could enjoy this lovely vacation. 8 days after their arrival, Tommy Schaefer was on a flight to join them. Tommy was Heather's 21-year-old boyfriend, and Sheila allegedly didn't approve of him. Sheila didn't know Tommy was on his way, nor that his $12,000 business class ticket and hotel room were paid for with her credit card. But 3 hours after his arrival, a little after 3:30 a.m., Sheila was seen arguing with him and Heather in their hotel's lobby. Sheila said she was going to get someone charged with credit card fraud when they got back home. Earlier that day, Tommy had sent messages to his cousin, Robert Ryan Justin Bibbs, about different ways to kill Sheila and when. The cousin sent high-five emojis and suggested that Tommy go sit on her face with a pillow. Tommy, Heather, and this cousin wrongly believed that Heather's $1.56 million trust fund was worth something like $11 million, and they wanted access to it. Hours after that argument in the hotel lobby, 62-year-old Sheila would be dead. The story goes that Tommy bludgeoned Sheila to death in the face with a metal handle of a decorative fruit bowl at around 9 a.m. He and Heather then stuffed her into a hard-side gray suitcase, a suitcase small enough that it shocked the world to find out a grown woman had been inside. It makes you think about how they must have manhandled her body to fit it in there. They then used a luggage cart to take the suitcase through the hotel, refusing the help of the staff. When someone asked about a blood stain on the suitcase, Heather said it was makeup. The pair then loaded the suitcase into the trunk of a taxi. When they went back inside to check out of the hotel, they found that Sheila had asked the hotel not to let them use her credit card. So they ran out the back entrance. Of course, by that time, the driver was a bit baffled by the bloody suitcase left in his trunk with the Regis sheets wrapped around it, held together with duct tape. He went to the police. Tommy texted his cousin that day that the murder was done and that he didn't feel bad. His cousin said she wasn't a good person. There wasn't any positive energy released from her body. Then the two went back to talking about NBA basketball. Heather claims that she and Tommy tried calling the police repeatedly after the murder, but they got an answering machine. She also said the U.S. consulate turned them away. Police found Heather and Tommy the next day, 6 miles away and hiding out in a cheap hotel. They had used their real names and Sheila's credit card to check in, and people working there recognized them from the news. Heather and Tommy said the same armed gang that had killed Heather's mom had kidnapped them, and they were only hiding out after a daring escape. The cops were unconvinced. In an autopsy, Sheila was found to have suffered from a broken nose and broken neck and had died from asphyxiation. She choked on her own blood. As soon as the two were charged, Heather sued her uncle for access to her trust fund so she could have the money before the age of 30. Her mom had created the fund for Heather's health, support, education, and maintenance, so I guess a murder defense technically meets the qualifications. A Chicago judge allowed $150,000 from the trust fund to be wired over to Heather's Indonesian lawyer. From the very beginning, the FBI office in Jakarta assisted Indonesian law enforcement to see that Sheila's body was flown back to the U.S. and to make sure authorities there could access phone records. This is when they might have found the text between Heather and Tommy, where they called themselves Bonnie and Clyde, and Heather said she literally couldn't wait to kill her mom. Heather continued to claim at this time, though, that she loved her mom more than anyone and that she didn't concoct the murder plot before the trip. But the next month, in September 2014, Bali police announced that Tommy had confessed to the killing and Heather had confessed to helping dispose of the body. The motive, authorities said, was Sheila's disapproval of their relationship. If found guilty, Heather and Tommy would possibly face a firing squad. Beginning in January 2015, Heather and Tommy were tried separately but in the same court under the same panel of three judges. The maximum sentence they were facing for premeditated murder was death. Heather claimed on the stand that she was allowed to use her mom's credit card to book a room for Tommy, that her mom knew. But the hotel staff said that, actually, they had asked Sheila about the second room, and she had been surprised by it, saying, "That thief Tommy Schaefer is here." Tommy testified that it was this attitude by Sheila that caused him to have to act in self-defense. He said that on August 12th, Heather texted that she was afraid and to bring something heavy to the room she was sharing with her mom. He went with the fruit bowl handle to their room to tell Sheila he and Heather were having a baby. He said Sheila was so angry at learning this that she threatened to kill their baby with a knife right then and there. He said she called Heather a prostitute and Tommy a racial slur and then attempted to strangle him. Just a reminder that Sheila's now-deceased husband was also black. It was only after he'd been nearly strangled for a full minute that Tommy supposedly reacted by hitting Sheila with the fruit bowl handle. But emails obtained by the Chicago Tribune show that Sheila knew about the pregnancy even before the trip to Bali. In fact, she told a friend that Heather was pregnant once again, indicating this wasn't the first time. And Sheila had never fought back in the many times she'd called the police for Heather's violent behavior. So the idea of threatening to kill a baby seemed way out of character for her. Heather testified that after Tommy began beating her mom, she went to the bathroom to hide. Prosecutors said that Tommy then tried to stuff Sheila's body into a suitcase, and Heather sat on it to help it close more easily. Heather was seen on security footage asking the hotel staff for the duct tape that would eventually hold the hotel sheets around the bloody suitcase. Prosecutors also claimed that this was all premeditated. They said that months before Sheila's murder in Bali, Heather suggested that Tommy pay a hitman $50,000 to kill her mom. Heather denied this at the time. During the trial, Heather and Tommy's baby was born. Estelle Stella Schaefer came into the world on March 17, 2015, St. Patrick's Day. She was named after Tommy's great-grandmother, and she turned out to be one of the best things to happen to Heather's case. On April 21, 2015, the judges found Heather and Tommy guilty of intentionally killing Sheila. Heather was sentenced to 10 years while Tommy got 18. The judges said they decided to go easier on Heather because a newborn baby badly needs a mother's love and breastfeeding, which is a strange thing to say. It sounds like they think the kid will still be breastfeeding at age 10 when Heather is released. But hey, no judgment on how you raise your kids. The judges said they also went a little lighter on Tommy because he was polite and showed remorse. Asked after the sentencing how she felt, Heather said that she had prayed, Dear God, I know you don't hear from me quite often, and I sometimes have acted like a jerk, but please have mercy on my soul and that of my daughter Stella, as I miss my mother and father so very much. Amen. I guess in Heather's mind, killing her mom is acting like a jerk. Tommy, meanwhile, said, although I do take full responsibility for my actions, I'm not a murderer. They were confined to the same prison, where Tommy worked to help build a new chapel for the prison, and Heather started a three-way relationship with two of the other female inmates.
Not exactly hard time, is it? That's mom killer Heather Mack having fun dancing while she's in prison on the island paradise of Bali. Heather is wearing makeup and looks happy-go-lucky as she playfully sticks her tongue out. And here's the 20-year-old Chicago-raised heiress in trendy shades, a big smile on her face. The prison where Heather and her boyfriend are being held has been described as a hellhole, but it sure doesn't look like that in this new video.
It's just really painful and frankly sordid to watch this. The hellhole looked like a country club, and it looked like a party. I think she's dancing on her mother's grave.
Yeah, San Quentin, it's not.
In December 2016, Tommy's cousin, Robert Bibbs, pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit foreign murder of a U.S. citizen. In June 2017, the now 26-year-old was sentenced to 9 years in prison for his part in the plot to kill Sheila. Tommy's cousin told the judge that he had been depressed in 2014 and hoped for a piece of Heather's inheritance. He said, to this day, I don't recognize the person in those messages. I never expected them to do something so horrific. He called his part in it a mistake. The Associated Press reports that the judge said, a mistake is leaving your keys in the car. A mistake is not standing by and encouraging an unjustified murder. At the cousin's sentencing, Sheila's brother talked about how his sister loved classical music and opera and gave her time and money to the arts. He said, I can't look at a suitcase without thinking of my sister's half-naked body. This will haunt me for the rest of my life. I only wish I could have protected her from this brutal murder. Bibbs will be eligible for parole in 2025. In February 2017, after Heather had been in prison for almost 2 years, a video was posted to YouTube that shows Heather confessing to her mom's murder. She says she hopes that the old adage about the truth setting you free works on her. She wants to be set free. She also claims that her mom killed her dad, and that was her motive for killing her mom. She says she planned the entire thing without Tommy, and that she doesn't regret it. I'll let you hear the 6-minute confession now, and you'll have to let me know what you think of it.
Okay, so this is a video that I need to make. A lot of the times, since I've been a kid, I've heard, the truth sets you free, the truth sets you free. And I never understood, but I'm Heather Mack, and I want to be set free. I don't want to live in a lie anymore. When I was 10, my mother killed my father in a hotel in Athens, Greece. 2 weeks before I came to Bali, I found out that she killed my father. And I made it up in my heart, in my mind, my soul, in my blood, in the oxygen running through my body, that I wanted to kill my mother. First, I asked Tommy Schaefer to help me find somebody to kill my mom for $50,000. And he said, no. After that, I got this whole new savage idea in my head that I wanted to kill her in a hotel room because she had killed my father in a hotel room. We were going to Bali, so I began to plot. I began turning off Tommy's phone, taking Tommy's phone when he was asleep, starting in Chicago, taking Tommy's phone and having conversations between Tommy and myself, texting myself, having fake conversations, and then deleting them before he could see them. I did that because part of me knew that with this plan of killing my mom in a hotel, that she might... I might get arrested. I didn't want to get arrested by myself in a different country. So I came to Bali, and I told Tommy that he was going to come here for a vacation. And I told Tommy that he was going to come to Bali for a vacation with me and my mother, and that she knew about it. In all reality, I stole her credit card and bought him a ticket without her knowing about it. I trapped him here. And that is what I regret. I don't regret killing my mother. And as evil as that may sound, that's my reality. If somebody killed Stella, I wouldn't regret killing them either. But I regret bringing Tommy into it. I regret being selfish. I regret trapping an innocent person into this because it was my battle. It was my mother. It was my father. It was my mother. It was my father. It was my battle. I'm sorry to Tommy Schaefer for trapping him. Came to Bali. My mom found out. I killed her myself. And then I told Tommy that if he did not help me clean the room and get rid of the body, that I would tell the police that he did it. I would pay money to get him arrested. So he helped me clean it. He ran with me. In the court, the same thing happened. My lawyers and I, because of the fact that if I get money, if my article that I was charged with was not that I'm the one who killed her, I'm still entitled to the money, and therefore I can pay the lawyers more. So we told Tommy together, my lawyers and I, that if he didn't take the blame in the court, that he would get the death penalty. So he lied in the court because of me. My motivation for doing this was myself. It's from inside of me, and it's my battle. It wasn't Tommy's. Tommy's an innocent man. And an even more innocent man is Ryan, Tommy's cousin. I don't even know how he got involved in this or why the FBI involved him, because he had absolutely nothing to do with any of it. He's innocent. I don't know if they wanted to sell a better story or what the FBI was on, but Tommy and Ryan are innocent. I'm not. And the only thing Tommy is not innocent of is hiding the body. And the only reason he did that is because of me. Because it was so burning and so deep in my heart, my plan, that I didn't think. I involved him, and I hurt him, and I hurt Stella. And I'm sorry, Tommy Schaefer. I'm sorry. I love you. I really love you, and if I could go back, I would do it myself. And I'm sorry that everyone who ever knew you now thinks you're a murderer when you're not. I'm sorry you won't be able to get a job. I'm sorry everybody thinks that you're some crazy killer. This is the truth. And whoever is watching this, don't hate Tommy. He's innocent. I'm not. I love you, Tommy.
In March 2017, Heather had to give custody of baby Stella to someone else. In Indonesia, children are allowed to live with their mothers in prison until the age of 2, which I found pretty interesting. But I know it's important for babies to be with their parents, and I guess kids probably can't remember that they lived behind bars at such a young age. The woman who got custody was an Australian living in Bali who had met Heather when she was first detained and helped interpret for her. She was married to a man from Bali and already had 2 sons of her own. Years went by, and then in August 2021, it was announced that Heather would be released from prison after 7 years, 4 years earlier than expected. Her lawyer said the government was rewarding her for significantly changing in prison and for getting involved in activities there, like organizing fashion shows and teaching the inmates to dance. Apparently, Indonesia is known for cutting prisoners a break and reducing their sentences by a little on every major holiday. The prison's warden said, Heather used to say that prison has changed her life a lot. She loves Indonesia and the people who have surrounded her all these years. She will miss us so much, and so do we here. But Sheila's brother assumed the Indonesian officials had been bribed to let Heather out early with some of that $150,000 that was sent over as her defense fund. He said that even the 10-year sentence was a travesty of justice. It was unclear if Heather would face charges in the U.S. when she was deported because she couldn't be tried again for murder based on the double jeopardy clause. But the Associated Press talked to one legal expert who said a bribery charge would be one way to get her. Turns out that wasn't necessary. In November 2021, 26-year-old Heather landed in Chicago and was immediately taken into custody by federal agents. She had been indicted on charges of conspiracy to commit murder in a foreign country and obstruction of justice. Her lawyer called it a witch hunt and said the government was caving to public pressure. He said they could have extradited Heather in 2015 and tried her in the U.S., but they chose not to. And now they were going to try her for something she'd already been convicted of overseas. But part of the murder conspiracy happened in the U.S. before Heather and Tommy went to Bali, so U.S. officials had every right to charge her here. And she had been found guilty of premeditated murder in Bali while they were charging her with conspiracy and obstruction now. She pleaded not guilty. On the plane with Heather was her daughter, Stella Schaefer, who was now 6 years old and very excited about coming to the United States for the first time. Heather hadn't been able to see Stella for 18 months while in prison because of COVID restrictions, so it must have been an incredibly happy reunion for them. Although originally Heather said she didn't want to bring Stella back to the U.S. and expose her to the media circus that surely awaited. She had wanted Stella to stay in Bali until they could be together there, but Indonesian law requires children to be deported with their mothers. I thought maybe by the time Heather was being deported, she knew that she was going to be stuck in U.S. prison for a while and wanted Stella to stay with her foster family. But it seems like the arrest in Chicago took her totally by surprise. Apparently, the indictment had been filed 4 years earlier but had been sealed, so no one knew about it. The FBI took Stella away from her mother immediately and placed her in the guardianship of one of Heather's lawyers. Stella's grandmother on Tommy's side was angry that she wasn't the one given custody. A custody fight ensued, and it took over a year for a court to decide that Stella would go live with one of Heather's maternal cousins in Colorado. The judge instructed that Stella was not to be used as a pawn or exploited in any fashion. Heather had a bond hearing in December 2022, where her uncle spoke against her, saying she was dangerous and threatening. He said that while being interviewed in jail, Heather said to a journalist, "You trust me not to come after you with a big pineapple knife or a fruit bowl when I get out on parole?" Prosecutors also said that Heather was recorded claiming that she had covered her mom's mouth to make sure she was dead, because Tommy would have been in even bigger trouble if Sheila had survived. The judge said Heather solved conflicts with violence and was too dangerous to be allowed out. By June 2023, Heather had been in talks with prosecutors and was now agreeing to plead guilty to one count of conspiring to kill her mother. She said she understood that the U.S. government needed her to be found guilty, so she would be considered a felon on U.S. soil. She said if she wasn't a felon, quote unquote, "I could become a police officer and work for the government. I could carry a firearm on the street." It's like she saw her conviction as some sort of formality. Prosecutors didn't seem to see it the same way, though. They called Heather the driving force of the conspiracy which resulted in the murder of her mother. As part of the deal, prosecutors recommended 28 years in prison, while Heather's lawyers suggested 15 years, with 7 years credit for time served in Indonesia and 2 years credit for time held in Chicago before the trial. Her lawyer said Heather didn't want to do more time, but that she was extremely remorseful about what happened. On January 17, 2024, the now 28-year-old Heather Mack was sentenced to 26 years in prison. WGN9 reports that Mack at one point smiled at her uncle in the audience in what looked like a sort of apology. Her uncle gave a statement after the sentencing that read, "Justice was served. We're very pleased with the judge's decision. That's the first time I've ever heard Heather apologize, and I did appreciate that. That's the first time I heard her admit her responsibility." Heather is being held at MCC Chicago with an unknown release date as of now. Tommy Schaefer remains in Indonesia, carrying out his 18-year sentence. He was also indicted here in the U.S. on the same charges Heather was, so we'll have to see what happens to him when he returns home. Heather told People magazine that her relationship with her mom was a disaster waiting to happen. She said they were close until the death of her dad, and then they became almost codependent. She said her mom both hated her and always wanted to be with her. They called each other Mother Pie and Your Sweetness Pie at the best of times. Heather also claimed that her mom got a thrill from having her steal expensive French cosmetics as a child, and that she did it just to please her mom. She said her father was physically abusive toward her mom, and her mother was emotionally abusive toward her dad. She said that after her dad died while they were on vacation, she wanted to go home, but her mom made them continue the trip. But it's unclear if anything Heather says can be believed. Sheila did try to help Heather's mental health issues over the years with therapists and psychiatrists and hospital stays. But Sheila told a friend that when you live with someone so violent for so long, it almost becomes just a normal way of life. In 2015, after she was convicted in Indonesia, Heather wrote to a judge in Chicago and said that, with all due respect to her mom, she thinks Sheila maliciously maneuvered to make sure Heather didn't get all of the inheritance her dad had intended for her. She said, "May my mother forever rest in peace, but the fact of the matter is stolen money is stolen money. If a little digging is done, surely we can find out exactly where Sheila struck gold." It seems to me that Heather can't help but play the part of the victim, no matter the cost to anyone else. Luckily, under Illinois law, a person who maliciously causes the death of another can't benefit monetarily from it. Heather's daughter, Stella, will be the sole beneficiary of Sheila's estate. The little girl clearly already knows a little something about what happened to her parents. During a call with her grandma, she called Tommy "Dangerous Daddy." The Chicago Sun-Times reports that Stella now goes to school and sees a therapist. I hope the best for little Stella Schaefer. I understand that it must have been hard for Heather to lose her dad at such a young age. I actually lost my mom while I was in high school, and I can imagine her pain. But when something terrible happens in your life, you can choose growth, or you can choose to run away from home, push your mom away, break her arm in a fit of violence, and try to get at the trust fund she set up for you. The fact that Heather is such an unreliable narrator makes her all the more of an unsympathetic character. We'll never know if Sheila had anything to do with the death of her husband, but I think we can safely assume she did not. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.